You seem to be in a very good mood.
I had coffee for the show.
Excellent.
Special for the show.
And I'd love to say we're all in good moods, but Russ is actually crying right now. He's weeping because someone he loves very dearly has died. Russ, who died?
Oh, Syd Barrett.
Sid Barrett. And for all you people who are saying, who the hell is Syd Barrett, I feel for you because I thought he was dead many, many years ago.
Well, he might as well have been.
What was he, in hiding or something?
No, he basically, after about 1972, he just really fell off the map. He went home and lived with his mother. Then when she died, he just kind of stayed there, and he just painted and rode his bike around town and so forth.
I wonder if he had a beard and long fingernails.
Yeah.
No, he was bald and kind of dumpy. And,
oh, yeah?
Yeah, Cambridge, England. I mean, I'm not all that sad. It just is what it is.
Step back, people. Who is Syd Barrett?
Syd Barrett was the first lead singer and songwriter of Pink Floyd.
How many albums did he appear on with Pink Floyd?
He was on the first album, which he wrote almost everything on there and played guitar. And he was involved in writing 4 songs on the second album, but he was only heard on 1 of them.
Excellent. And we'll be playing some Syd Barrett later on in the show. That's called a teaser to keep you listening, so you won't go off and listen to some other podcast.
A strong teaser at that.
Knowing that we're going to play some Syd Barrett.
What you don't know about Syd Barrett just might kill you.
Tonight, Newswigs 11. Speaking of Syd Barrett and rock and roll, something's kind of been just on my mind, and it came to light today when I read an article about radio station here in Philly, WXPN, which is a station for old people who like rock, and it just keeps getting older and older and skewing older and older. Now I think they're just a friggin' country western station and crap they play. I know I'm in the minority, but they just took over a internet radio station called Y100 Rocks, which is a alternative rock music station. They were a station that was actually on the radio. They got bought out, and the program director and a couple other people kept the spirit going on this little internet station. And the question I pose is there such thing as alternative rock anymore? It's just rock. Because you like read listings like top alternative albums, and it's like Green Day, Chili Peppers.
Mm.
That's just rock.
Yeah.
There's not any band that is rock that's like, there's no more alternative. There's indie rock, which is, you know, small label rock. But there's no, back in the day, like when Nirvana came up, and even before that, when you had, you know, like true punk bands like Husker Du, Minor Threat, there was alternative music. Now there's not alternative music. All the alternative bands, the punk bands, the emo bands, they're all mainstream. So get rid of that term, correct or incorrect?
Yeah, I think that the word alternative has kind of been bastardized, right? Because if they're widely known, well known, and played on Total Request Live on MTV, then
right.
How can it be alternative or underground? And then plus, like, if someone has a regular, normal kind of rock pop crappy sound and nobody buys their records, are they would be kind of alternative because, or independent because they're on an independent label, or alternative to mainstream, right?
Right. But if, like, right now people are like, oh, you know that alternative music, the White Stripes and blah blah blah. White Stripes are one of the biggest selling bands of the aughts. You know, they're not alternative anymore. Green Day is still considered an alternative band.
So how would you categorize today's music then?
Sucky.
But that
no, I mean,
yeah. multiple categories.
No, but even that, today's music, I mean, come on, and labels and all that kind of stuff, it's just, we should throw all that out the window. If you like it, you like it, and no. if you don't,
you
don't.
Need to
yeah, but we need to
stuff.
Have, don't you think we need genres yes. to, like, to browse through and automatically dislike people's music taste and stuff?
Exactly.
I don't think so. You know, well, I mean, and I'm probably in the minority, but I never browse by genre, because genre means nothing to me. You know,
if look up the definition. You just don't know what the word means.
If something is so clearly defined that it can go into a genre, it's probably not going to interest me as much as something that somebody would go, I really don't know exactly where this fits. That tends to be the music that I like the most.
But being in a band, though, if you tell someone you're in a band and they say, what kind of music do you play?
Yeah,
you have an answer for that, right?
Not really. I hate that question.
Oh.
Because the answer is...
blowing in the wind, my friend.
Right. That's exactly it.
Well, if someone said, I'm like, hey, what kind of music do you like? They're like, the blues. I'm like, I immediately know they're going to blow the crap out of me. So I like being able to say what music you like. I like to take a song, a band, put them in a box and say, this is exactly what you are. Don't do anything different. No tricks.
The worst answer to that question, if you're in a conversation, is someone who says, I like all kinds of music. Because
and you know they have crappy musical taste.
Well, that means they don't like anything, I think. You know, like, I don't know anything about music, you know? Or, like, they passively like everything.
Well, I mean, I'll say something
whatever
similar
Rick
to
D
that,
says
but then I have to qualify it to back it up. Because you have to, it's like, you can say that, but then you have to really geek around for about 5 minutes to really prove it.
But there are certain people that can say that, like, maybe, like us, you know?
Yeah.
Of course, we can say that because we're actively liking all different kinds of music. When people say they like every kind of music, that means that they've never bought a CD. You know what
right,
I mean? Like,
right.
oh, whatever the Tonight Show happens to have on. You know, like, that's probably pretty good.
Whatever Casey Kasem's spinning. But people used to, like, just, you know, way back when, like, whatever Casey Kasem, you know, like, the American Top 40, I think Ryan Seacrest does it now. That still dictates, like, the taste of many, many people.
Mm-hmm.
But luckily here on Newswigs Radio, you really, most of these bands, your average person's going to say, yuck, I don't get that. That scares me. And that makes me feel uncomfortable. And that's what we love about Newswigs Radio. It's what we love, the three of us.
So we'll tell the people what to like as opposed to Rick Dees or Casey Kasem.
Right. So you like what we're playing. And if you don't like it, listen anyway and just tell other people who might like it. So we're going to play for you right now a little band out of Chicago called Apollo Up. We'll be right back. And we're back. Todd was just saying Saranac Pale Ale in particular is not only a delicious beer, it's a good buy.
It's cheap to buy, and they have a nice variety pack, right? And they're all tasty. And they actually have a picture of the color of the beer on the neck, so you can know if it's a light beer, a medium beer, full body beer, dark beer.
I would trust the picture on a label. That's because it's not a photograph, is it?
Yeah, it's
pretty, okay, yeah, that's not
That's
bad.
Pretty good usability for the average consumer to have little icons.
I call it Sarnac, though, not Saranac.
Sarnac, the great Sarnac.
And I try to save a syllable here and there, so at the end of the day, I can talk a little bit longer.
Sarnac.
Do you know that the Italians are notorious for that? Back in the day, like Italians in small villages, they would take pride in shortening words, taking out hard consonants in the middle of words, just to save a breath. So many words that have used to be really, really long, like the word like Massimo, which means maximum. And, you know, people are actually named Massimo now. But it used to be a bit longer with some hard consonants in there. But people in villages would be like, there's too many breaths. I'm going to save a breath. We'll get rid of that and that T. That's called, like in linguistics, it's like a decaying of language. But every language does it, you know. And it's like words come, you know, you find a word today that was, you know, twice in length. But you like to think there's some very, very, you know, scientific reasons and reasons that, you know, but no, it's just because people are like, I'm saving a breath, and, you know, everybody's saying it now, so let's just change the spelling of it. This is, you know, I know we always want to talk about linguistics on this show, but that's really not our purview. I want to get back to rock talk, and the show in particular called Rockstar Supernova. Have you guys seen this?
Is that where Tommy Lee is trying to find a new lead singer for his band?
What is with that guy?
Complete train wreck. Horrible, horrible nonsense. And it's horrible for one reason. It brings out every, like, drama school nerd who hasn't made it in Hollywood, but they're all actors, but they're like, you know what? I'm a good enough actor that I could front a hard rock band. I could put on some henna tattoos, I can dress like Kurt Cobain meets Exena Cervenka, and I can sing for this band. Because it's half the guys, they're just not legit rock guys, mm-hmm. but they're dressing up like that, and the girls are just so laughable. So, like, they were the annoying girl in high school. Now, and they all do the same thing. They all sing like a Nirvana song, and they do like the slow, like, I'm a slow, eerie girl, sing at the beginning of Lithium, but stay with me, because now I'm gonna scream! Yeah! And then they pan to Tommy Lee and the bassist from Metallica, the old bassist from Metallica, and the guy from the drug addict from Guns N' Roses, who are forming this band.
Who's the Guns N' Roses guy?
Gibby Clark.
Who's that? What version of Guns N' Roses was he?
Gibby, his name is?
I don't know what version.
I thought that all the initials of the people on Guns N' Roses spelled out AIDS.
Really?
Yeah.
That's nice.
Axel, Izzy, Diesel, and Slash. Diesel. I don't know.
Diesel. did you get that little bit of trivia in there? Exena Cervenka?
I don't know that, no.
It's okay. You don't have to know that.
You know, am I wrong, or is she married to...
You're wrong. She was married to him.
Okay.
You're talking about Viggo Mortensen?
Yes.
Yeah, they were I don't think they're married anymore, but they had...
I didn't want to give it to Jeff because I knew he'd have it.
Yeah, Viggo Mortensen is a lot older than you would think.
Yeah.
He's been around forever. He's in his 40s.
I saw that, and I was like, wait a minute, there's a disconnect. She was the lead singer of X, Todd.
John Doe, X.
Todd has that cartoon question mark floating over his head.
She's awesome. She has one of the best voices out there.
And who's the guy she was married to?
Viggo Mortensen.
You know, the guy who was... What was he in
he
Lord of the
Stryker,
Rings?
He was Lord of the Rings.
And he played, like, the talking head in Max Headroom.
Well, I say Stryker, but he was also known as Aragorn.
Oh, that's right. Todd doesn't know that stuff. That's, like, the one thing he doesn't know.
Yeah. Speaking of TV, the one thing that makes me stop throwing away my television... And do you actually watch that show? That show? Making the Band or Getting Together a Band or whatever you're just talking about?
Rosh Hashanah? No, yeah. Flip by. And it's you can't even watch it. You just want to kill everyone.
But I wanted to bring up my love-hate affair with Comedy Central, because shows like The Daily Show and The Colbert Report are like the saving graces of television. I mean, that's what's keeping me from putting my TVs out on the curb, right? But, and they're fantastic shows like those two. South Park is still, I think, pretty well-written and fresh. But then we have The Mind of Mencia.
Steaming pile of poo.
What a bunch of crap. That show is disgusting.
Well, disgusting in its lameness.
That's what I'm... Oh, I don't mean disgusting. Like, yeah, that's disgusting. No, he...
Censor that.
Oh, no, 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 no. I mean, like, just unwatchable. Well, he... first of all, so apparently he's not even Mexican, and that's his whole shtick, is that he's a beaner, right?
Right.
And he's not even Mexican. And a lot of, if you read, like, blogs and posts by other comedians, they trash him because...
Joe Rogan trashes him.
Especially Joe Rogan, yeah. Right.
Is Joe Rogan a comedian?
Joe Rogan is a really funny stand-up.
Is he really? Used to be, yeah.
You don't want to think he's funny because, you know... He's a good-looking guy in shape, and he does knucklehead things like, you know, the
Fear Factor.
But he is some of the funniest. Like, it's really dirty.
Oh, I'll give it to him.
But it's
really
not just
clever.
Joe Rogan. There are a number of comedians that have come out and said that not only is he not Mexican, and that's all bullshit, but also that he steals all of his material from other comedians and books and things like that. So it's not even original. And if you watch the show, which is terrible, there's got to be 28% of the show of him kind of heralding himself as being so outrageous. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Oh, you know I'm going to have to tackle that. You know? You know, it's like, you know, I couldn't just let that go. You know it's me. You know it's me. I'm going to have to take care of that. Like that. It's one thing about being cutting edge or like pushing boundaries,
right,
or being outrageous, but then to talk about
how controversial. TV. Todd, you were there going, no, you didn't! And he has to respond to guys like you.
Well, that show is a mess.
That Wanda Sykes show was the exact same thing. It was like she was supposed to be crazy outrageous and all this kind of crap. And luckily for us, they canceled it at like 5.
That show did stink, but she's actually very funny.
Yeah,
I've seen her live.
And
that's a shame. That
but
show,
I'm just saying, that show was terrible.
Reno 911 is brilliant, though, and thank you, Comedy Central, for the new season of Reno 911.
But I have one simple...
Blue-collar comedy sucks, and let's take that off the air.
If people... You know, people always say, why doesn't MTV play videos anymore? If Comedy Central went back to their roots and did what they did originally, was do nothing but stand-up, where they would just play hours of two-minute stand-up bits over and
over. Yeah, remember that?
You could
spend four hours
just watching...
4 p.m. to like 9 p.m.
Yeah, it was... you could! You could!
Are Jeff and I getting too excited about
it? Yeah, let's play some music.
No, we just hugged. Why, we hugged and that made you uncomfortable, Ross?
What's next?
It was a... What kind of hugs next?
No,
probably
what music is next? Am I on deck now?
Ross, you know what? We teased it and people are clamoring. They're like, I want my Fred Barrett.
Lost in the woods. don't like when I go in a store and they call me boss. Hey, boss, can I help you, boss? When they call me boss, I go, I got some bad news. We're gonna have to let you go. But first, bring me the earnings from the register for today. I'll give you severance and give me the rest. I was in a shoe store and the guy was calling me boss, and I said, can I just get those sneakers in a 10? And he said, okay. And then he went downstairs and he came back and he said, I don't have a 10, I have a 9. Oh, great. Because while you were downstairs, my toes were severed off. So that works out. Normally it would be stupid for you to tell me a number different than the one I said because it goes with my body part. But given my very recent accident, you're right on. I'll take the 9s and a pile of band-aids. Thank you. You're rehired because you're a genius. I want to thank everybody for coming out. This stadium, I can't believe, is packed. It's amazing. Not the best acoustics at Shea these days, but I'm going to buy a bunch of hermit crabs and make them live together. What are those? Ah, they're just crabs. Social crabs. My friend had a burrito. The next day he said, that burrito did not agree with me. I was like, was the disagreement over whether or not you'd have diarrhea? Let me guess who won. I tried to reason with it. I insisted. You know, I was like, I want to go outside. I like these pants. But the burrito had his way. Thanks, everybody.
Okay, that was Sid Barrett with Octopus from the Madcap Laughs.
And followed by Sid Barrett, that was comedian Dimitri Martin. And we had to play some Dimitri because we needed some good comedy being played after Todd's little tirade about bad comedy, Carlos Mencia, and the like. He is embarrassingly an embarrassing stereotype, I think. But, you know, I'm an embarrassing stereotype. I'm an Irish guy who, what do I do? I drink a lot.
You drink a lot? I didn't want to say it.
I don't think you actually drink a lot.
I really don't. But Todd, like the first 2 times I met you, didn't I bring cases with
me? It's not the first 2 times. It might be the first 6 or 7 times we got together. Every time you would walk in the door always carrying a case of beer.
But it was good beer. It wasn't like
that. Yeah, yeah.
Like Schlitz,
but it was so typical. Every time I saw you there, it was almost like you were like Beery Smurf. You know, like, that was your thing. You'd be walking in with the case of beer.
Well, I want to be known as Good Time Jeffers. I don't want to you know, when I walk in, normally I walk in, people are like, oh great. When I walk in with a case of beer, people are like, oh great.
It's like, this is the sound of Jeff walking in.
and let's be said, it's not me with a JCPenney bag with mixed 8 different beers clanking around.
No,
you two have buds I had behind my
good
garage
stuff, yeah.
It's a quality case of I would have some Victory Prima Pills. I would bring some delicious Smittix, not Smithwick, Smittix
this
amber.
This Victory the Pills is really bitter.
Yeah, it's a bitter aftertaste.
I've always thought that about this beer.
Yeah, I like it, though. It's refreshing.
Yeah, it's all right.
That was a segment we like to call Beer Talk here on Use Waves Radio. So that's enough about beer and enough about music. Todd, can we go and do a little thing we like to call Todd's Art Corner?
Let's do it. I have something that I would like to talk about and school you guys and the rest of the listeners out there.
We are ready to be schooled, right, Russ?
Jeff, yes. I think, knows a little bit about this. We had a brief conversation prior, and the piece I would like to talk about this evening or this morning or whenever you're listening to this is American Gothic by Grant Wood. Rush, you familiar with the piece?
I know the title.
Okay, it's everyone's seen it, parodied hundreds if not thousands of times, and you've probably seen the original plenty of times too. It is a farmer with a pitchfork.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Okay, right. Farmer and female with a pitchfork standing in front of a structure, a home, a house. Now, The popular misconception about this piece, and usually the way it's parodied, is that it's a husband and wife. Most people kind of automatically assume a husband and wife, but
I like when they parody him with dogs.
Like a dog head, or Mickey and Minnie's face, like Bill and Hillary Clinton we see.
No, but, just dogs.
Okay. But that's a popular misconception, and I'm going to dispel that myth. It is supposed to be the father and the daughter.
A farmer and his daughter.
Right. So, and the kind of the nuance, of the very subtle, interesting part of this painting is that they are not standing side by side. Mm-hmm. He is standing slightly in front of her. His elbow is in front of her, and he is holding that pitchfork kind of in front of her. And the pitchfork normally used to, like, move hay from point A to point B, in this case is kind of suggesting a
defensive mode?
A weapon, a defensive mode, right? So the pitchfork is held there. He is looking straight at the viewer, you being the viewer, mm-hmm. with a face that's kind of contemptuous,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
She looks to him kind of with a look of, oh, daddy. You know, like she's kind of embarrassed. And
wait, whoa. Oh, whoa, whoa, whoa.
Which kind of, like, oh, daddy?
No.
I think like she's like a disturbed
she's not
transsexual.
Thrilled.
Oh, daddy.
Well... You know what? She's not. She could be mistaken for a transsexual because
she's not pretty.
She's not a knockout. It was actually, I believe, it was his niece who was the model and his dentist who was the model for the man.
Yeah, which definitely is.
But anywho, he stands there.
Wait, who's he? Who's the
man? Grant Wood. I'm sorry.
Did you say that?
Yeah,
I may have.
May not. It's
but but the bald guy with the pitchfork stands there with his elbow kind of in front of her, as if to suggest that he. Well, what do you think, Russ?
What do you
think's going on in that picture?
I think I need it in front of me because I think I've seen so many parodies of it that I've lost what the original is.
Uh-huh.
I mean, and I would know it by sight, which was the original, but not in this detail.
Uh-huh. Well, here's the deal: is that, and this is why it's considered, I think, such a strong, powerful, potent piece, is that the viewer, us, we are a suitor walking up to that painting. And then it doesn't matter whether you're male, female, young or old. You are a suitor at that moment, walking up to that painting, attempting to take the girl out for a night on the town. Pop stands between you and she with the pitchfork to kind of, I think, give the impression or to intimidate you, like, you have her home by 9 o'clock, etc. She looks at him like, oh, please. You know, she's embarrassed. She doesn't want to be protected. Right? And that's what I think makes the piece so engaging and exciting is that it's actually it's probably the most famous painting of two people in the world, definitely of American art, but it's actually kind of a narrative which stars three people.
I think that in the future when we're doing Todd's Art Corner, do your little farts on your hands. This should be going on the whole time while he's speaking.
Yeah. That's great. I like that.
Lightens the mood a little bit, huh?
It certainly does. All right, people, how about some fiery furnaces?
Wind gives you a shock. Remember, Impregnate your iPod with life's little miracle. Used Wigs Radio. Ooh, am I showing?
That was the Fiery Furnaces off their album EP. And the song title is Here Comes the Summer. Apropos, I think. And the Fiery Furnaces are a very challenging band. Some of their stuff is borderline, by some people might say, unlistenable. But that one was pretty catchy, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I gotta say that I'm in this school of not liking them, because most stuff I heard, I'm like, all right, you guys, you're crazy, you're quirky, and I get it, and then I turn them off. But that was.
But
very,
I don't think you do get it. Then
I really like Blueberry Boat, but that to me is the apex so far.
Mm-hmm. They have a recent album that came out maybe a month and a half ago called Bittersweet Tea or Bitter Tea, which is actually pretty good too. Mm. Speaking of, have you guys ever gone to the barter section of Craigslist?
Barter section. Now, were you actually barter for services?
You can barter all kinds of stuff.
Are and you I would talk about the one red paperclip guy.
No, do tell.
You don't know about that?
No.
All right. There's a guy who, and he started on Craigslist. His whole goal, he's in Montreal. His whole goal was to trade a red paperclip, trade it up to getting a house.
Wow.
And so it's OneRedPaperclip.com, and it's the whole story about how, and actually today, just today, he finally got the house.
Really?
It's been going on for a year. So he like traded the paperclip for like a fish pen, and then somebody traded that for something else, and it kept going and going and going until he started having things that people wanted, or people would, yeah, I'll trade you this for that, and then so somebody traded him a snowmobile, mm-hmm. And then it was something else, and then it became more esoteric things like an afternoon with Alice Cooper, you know, all this kind of stuff.
That's great.
Until it finally got up to the point where the last thing he had was a walk-on part in a movie.
Uh-huh.
And then a town up in Saskatchewan wanted the publicity and everything like that, so they bought a house, fixed it up for him, and they traded the house for that so that they could do like a little American Idol kind of thing in their hometown and come up with an award the actor this walk-on part in the movie. So he traded up a red paperclip to a house in 1 year.
Wow. So maybe the term rags to riches could be replaced with a red paperclip to house. But you know, if you have like 14 minutes to kill at work or at home, if you go to Craigslist into the barter section, it's a really interesting kind of sociological
give me an
look.
Of barter.
Okay. How about if you're local to Philadelphia and you happen to be a masseuse?
Right.
You could barter Celtic harp lessons with this lady, okay? She teaches Celtic harp.
Celtic harp, you know.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, you guys are so snotty about
you
your pronunciation.
Like harp like that, like Larry Bird would play?
How about a clog magnet from Holland? I have a clog magnet from Holland. It reads, "It's cute with blue clogs and decorative windmill painted and printed on it. Just looking to see what I can get."
Clog magnet from Holland, make me an offer. Here's my offer. Give me the clog and I'll beat you over the head with it.
Wait, can you see what other people have gotten for things?
Well, I don't know. You can't really see if they're successful or not, but here's someone who will tint your windows on your car for karate lessons.
That's just funny.
And I think that's a guy that I want to be friends with. I don't have actually the need for tinted windows nor the experience to give karate lessons, but that just sounds like a cool guy. You know what I mean?
Should.
Yeah, but that's not the only thing.
Obviously,
he's looking
he doesn't
for.
Know
he's
a lot about karate, so you could give him lessons with as much as you know about
that. Well, here's what the guy's... He'll tint your windows for either a computer, a laptop, or computer upgrades, light auto body work, collectibles. He's into shooting, so anything gun-related. And martial art lessons.
Yeah, that sounds like a really cool guy.
Don't you think? Like, this is the kind of guy where if he moved in next to you, you'd be like, oh, for crying out loud.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, tint my windows. Speaking of Craigslist, guys, in the top 10 most popular websites right now in the United States, Craigslist is number 7. Can you give me any sites that are more popular than Craigslist?
Google.
Google's number 2.
eBay.
eBay's number 5.
Yahoo.
Amazon.
Yahoo, number 1.
Get some.
Amazon.
Amazon is number 6. You guys are very, very good. You spend a lot of time on the computer.
What are we missing?
You're missing...
Or mouse potatoes.
Number 3, very big with kids. They all have their own...
MySpace.
MySpace. That's right. That's where 13-year-olds find other 13-year-olds to do sexual favors. What do we have? Number 4, Microsoft Network, MSN. I guess a lot of people use that as their homepage.
You know why? Because it probably default. If you get Explorer, that's the default homepage. Yeah. And you know, if you're over 40, you don't know how to change that, so that doesn't count.
It's true.
That's right, 40-year-olds. I call you out.
Here's number. Way to take a tough stance, Todd, against people out of our demographic. Number 8 is Anderson Cooper Network.
Yeah, CNN.
CNN, I guess a lot of people. It's one of the few, I guess, news sites that actually gives, like, semi-news. You know, just news isn't, like, the news business isn't about news anymore. You know, it's not about giving, like, news, like, you know, the Civil Wars and African nations, here's what's going on. News, obviously, is about just creating pandemonium, talking about scares, creating scares, trying to find the bloodiest bloodshed in America and reporting on it.
Yeah.
And that's news. But CNN, I guess, does the best job of giving you some news in between all their nonsense. Number 9, Go. Go.com? People still go to Go.com?
What is that?
I never even heard of that.
No. Why don't you go there?
Go there, Toddy.
Yeah, Todd. And then
Sir Toddlington.
What the hell? Number 10, Live.com. What's Live.com?
I'm actually looking up the pronunciations of Celtic versus Celtic.
YouTube. And all right. But you know what? I think you know what's going to rocket to the top website-wise, which I spend hours on now, is YouTube.com.
Oh,
YouTube.
Yeah.
Fantastic. I mean, I just type in your favorite band, and there's some, you know, 40-year-old guy in Sweden who's like, oh, yeah, Husker Du came by in 87. I videotaped the whole thing. I put up 20 of their videos. And I'm like, I love you, Swedish guy. You know, and I send him emails how much I love him, and he won't.
All right, Jeffy, how about some music?
Are you saying I'm talking too much? All right, next up, we have one of my new favorite bands on Thick Records. This band is called Hanalei with Duct Tape Tapes. Yeehaw!
Much more than entertain.
Get it off your chest.
Simply put, either is adequate. Indeed, originally the name Celt or Celt comes from the ancient Greek Celtoid, then through Latin as Celt. This was pronounced with the hard C. It is true that there was a phonetic corruption by the English scholars during the days of the Empire, however, there was blah blah blah.
Alright, but you call it Celtic if you're saying like Celtic
language. No, you're right.
And the Celtics, because they're the name of a popular team, they can't rely on the masses to know how to pronounce them. Especially Bostonians, who are, as we know, a very stupid race of people.
They're a race?
Are you expecting me to apologize?
No, I don't.
And on the map that we have with all the lit up light bulbs showing where our listeners are, Massachusetts just shut off.
We have like six people just went dim.
But Germany is on fire.
Good night, Boston.
Germany is on fire. I'm kind of amazed by this list. So we're saying YouTube is still very popular. It's going to be rocket to the top. Google Video also very good.
Huh.
And
what are some of the greatest things that you have seen on YouTube?
Like non-pornography or pornography?
Is there pornography?
No, I don't think there is pornography. I just think old band videos.
Yeah.
David Bowie, Life on Mars, like just the video. It amazes me that people made videos back in the 70s. You know, a lot of it's just concert footage, like someone playing on Ed Sullivan, someone playing on Don Kirshner's rock concert, stuff like that. But people did make, you know, conceptual videos back then.
The Beatles made a video for Strawberry Fields and Penny Lane.
Seriously?
1968, I believe, yep.
Yeah, well, Pink Floyd had them beat.
Yeah, Pink Floyd.
Because
wow.
they did a video
yeah,
for
but
Arnold,
he's dead now.
For Arnold Lane in 66.
Okay.
Yeah, but who doesn't know that? Russ, could you tell us something we might not know? Because everyone knows that.
Okay.
It's like, that's general knowledge, right?
I wonder who they would say did the first conceptual video. They probably would credit it to like Elvis or somebody doing it in, you know, within the context of the movies that he was in.
Mm.
Oh, right. Yeah, well, I guess, yeah, if you take it out of a movie. But, well, no, even before that, Bill Haley, you know, with Rock Around the Clock and those movies.
Yeah.
You know? But that music back then sucked. It really did. It was bad.
Do you really feel that way?
I do. I'm one of those guys, like, and I piss off everyone. Cause
that's crazy.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, the music that you like couldn't have existed if it wasn't for that. No.
Yes, it could. Yes, it could.
Nope.
The music I like would be in damn fine shape without...
Whatever. You don't even like the Talking Heads.
Without Bill Haley or the fat-ass Big Bopper or any of those other losers.
That's crazy.
Is that crazy, Doug?
Yeah.
Talking Heads... The music, music today, I would like a lot better if the Talking Heads never existed. What do you think of that?
Are you going to sit back, Russ? Are you going to sit there and listen to this?
I'm just smiling because I can see the smirk on his face. He's just trying to get a rise.
All I'm saying is the word pretentious.
Same as it ever was.
Yeah, come on. David Byrne, you know. He fine time and place, but I cannot stand when people say, oh, you know, punk back in the late 70s with the Talking Heads. That wasn't punk. That was...
No, and well...
So
and,
blame the people, not the Talking
right,
Heads.
They never called themselves punk.
No, I know,
punk.
Because if you let me finish, I'm like, that's not even good music, let alone punk.
Yeah, well, if you let me finish...
It was a bunch of art school guys who could barely play instruments and like, you know what? I can't really sell my art because everybody's making art. I'm going to try. I'll be in a band. How hard can it be to be in a band?
You know who would fall into that category? Is Jonathan Winston Lennon.
Yeah, I know. He was an art student.
Uh-huh.
Hitler was an art student.
Do you ever just refer to him as John Lennon? Jeez.
All right, we're going to play a song. Then I want to get back to talking to Todd about having the summer off and how freaking lovely that is. But first, here's a Philly band. These guys have been around forever. Actually, it's just one guy under the name Lily. We'll be right back. That was the Lilies. That's a Philadelphia artist. I can't think of the guy's name, but the new album is very good. Check it out. I think they also go by The Lilies or Lilies. Go to eMusic and look up Lilies. And that song, I love it because it has such a old-time feeling, like late 80s, early 90s. Makes me feel good. And then it goes into a little Dinosaur Jr. type thing. That makes me feel even better.
To Jeff, that's ye old timey. That's old.
I don't know. That's when music was good. But we teased another thing that Todd is not working this summer. And you're like, oh, did Todd lose his job? Is Todd drinking too much? Did he get fired? No. Todd is a teacher, as we all know to regular listeners of Use Wigs Radio. And being a teacher means you have the summers off.
Mm-hmm. Well, I get paid all summer long as if I'm working. Oh. So it's not like I don't have a job. It's just that I don't have to go to it.
Well, you go, don't you go every Friday and you go and they give you a bag of money with a dollar sign on it and then you drive your scooter home?
You know what? Being a teacher is a full-time, 365-day-a-year job. And I'm always thinking about it, whether it be 3 or 4 seconds a day or all day.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. But a normal day would be like wake up, go to the gym, ride around on the motorcycle, go to a coffee shop, you know, like use their wireless
Wi-Fi
network, yeah, to search around Craigslist and see what's like available for barter.
Dude, you better have so much friggin' show prep this summer. You better have just talk topics coming out of your hairy body because you have more free time.
Not to mention, hey guys, Podcast Monday. Can it be Podcast Tuesday for just the summer so I could go to the beach on weekends? Thanks.
I'm really working on my tan. I got a really good base, and I think by the end of the summer I could be like Mocha.
Podcast Tuesday.
So I come from a long line of teachers. I have aunts, uncles who are teachers. And they are just the happiest, happiest, happiest people in the world in the summer.
It's great.
And we grew up at the shore. So picture being a teacher in the summer. My aunt, my cousin, like, were skipping last week when I saw
it. It's a great. And you know what? Even, I mean, being a teacher in a great school district, that's a good gig even while I'm working. It's not a bad deal. Let's talk about shout-outs.
Shout-outs? Who are you going to shout-out to, Todd?
I came across something that I bet some people know about already, but this is the local library.
The local library.
Have you been recently?
To like, all right, are you saying a website? Or
No. I'm saying like the library.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like Ben Franklin's idea of the library.
No, I'm not familiar with it. What do they do at a library?
I haven't been to a library for ages, you know? Yeah. I mean, because between Amazon and Borders and Barnes & Nobles, like, you just go there, you read what you want, you buy stuff half price if you need something.
They have, like, a ball pit now?
Well, how about this? They have a gigantic CD section.
Yes, they do.
Where you can just take CDs home.
And never give them back.
But you know, like in this day and age of ripping music onto your iTunes or whatever music program you happen to use, and I was like, I walked around with my mouth wide open, and they actually had good stuff.
Do you know you just went from being like impressing everyone and being like a very erudite person who's like, I need to go better myself, go to a library, read some books, to then turning into a little like pirate who's like, I find music I can steal.
It's incredible. Well, I don't like to use the word steal.
Right.
But
borrow forever.
So I wandered around and there's actually good CDs. There's stuff. I saw stuff by all kinds of like independent alternative bands.
Tom Jones?
No. I'm talking about stuff that we listen to, right? And I went to the library and I was like, how many can you take out at one time? She says, as many as you want. I couldn't even believe it.
Yeah. So how many did you take out?
Well, I only took out three. I didn't even want to believe it.
What were they?
I took out the new George Harrison CD Before He Died, which I couldn't bring myself to buy because it probably stunk. But I'm a huge Beatles fan of George Harrison. The new Brian Wilson CD Before He Might As Well Die, and the Chess soundtrack. But there is stuff like that was far hipper than those three things I just said. I just happen to own them already.
Right.
I tell everybody, go to your local library and check out the CD collection that they have, and you can just take it. Do you see what I'm saying? It's free.
Okay.
And you know what? I saw some good books there, too.
All right, Captain Bly. Oh, yeah, you saw some good books. As my arms were filled with 20 CDs I was ripping as I was walking out of the library.
Why don't you just cut out the middleman and bring your laptop there?
That's actually not a bad idea.
Librarian's like,
I'm like, can I hook up my external hard drive to the computer?
She's like, we don't even have dial up here. All right, Russ, old pirate, old Blackbeard is done talking. Rush, you got any shout-outs?
I don't really have a shout-out, but I think that one red paperclip is interesting to go take a look at. I'm surprised you guys hadn't heard of it, so maybe it's not as widespread as I thought. So, in that case...
Yeah.
Oh, also, if you want to see something else pretty appalling, watch the new Rocky VI trailer online.
New Rocky VI trailer. That's it. Most Philadelphians, we pride ourselves on Rocky and... that's it. That's what we do in Philly. We pride ourselves on Rocky, and there's going to be a new Rocky movie coming out.
I think it's just called Rocky Balboa.
Rocky Balboa.
He's in great shape, though.
He's fantastic.
He's like 63 years old.
Is he really?
And he would tear us apart in a fight.
So man sexy. Oh,
hung
man,
like a walrus.
Oh. and he really shows off his sexiness in this one. I really don't have any shout-outs. I know I enjoy... I enjoy a little website called Midnight Pajama Jam. It's Midnight Pajama Jam. It's just two comedians who made some pretty out there videos. John Benjamin's one of the guys, and they do a lot of crazy, wacky stuff. So check that out, midnightpajamajam.com, and you can get to see such things as the Hello Squad. Guys, that was one of the most fantastic podcasts ever to emanate from Russ Stark Studios. Wouldn't you agree? Why don't we end it with one of our favorite bands of all time? One of our favorite, Andy Partridge. He has a disease, people. Andy Partridge.
He does?
He has the disease where he's afraid to perform.
Oh, yeah.
Whatever you call that. It's not agoraphobia. It's not... I guess if there's a term for stage fright, he got stricken with stage fright halfway through his career. But, of course, we're talking about XTC. And, Todd, what song are we going to end the show with?
It's from the album Skylarking, which is a great album from beginning to end.
It's
by it.
Underneath us.
And this is called Summer's Cauldron.
Goodbye, everybody.
Drowning here in summer's cauldron, under mats of flower lava. Please don't pull me out. This is how I would want to go. Breathing in the boiling butter, fruits of sweat. With me.